11L, wonderful RNI. Now here's Dave.
Hey folks, this is Dave the Boogeyman. I've got a special guest on the line, David Bash. David is the founder of the International Pop Overthrow Festival, fondly called the IPO. The IPO Music Festival has been around for 12 years, and it runs all across the United States, Toronto, Canada, and Liverpool, England. It's a mix of old and new bands in a festival-type atmosphere, and it's one of the great power pop festivals in America. David, are you there?
I am. Thank you so much for the kind words, Dave.
Well,
for having me on your show.
You've got a great show. You've got a great show that you put on. So tell me a little bit about the IPO in your words. How did it get started, and why?
Well, it got started in my home base of Los Angeles back in 98. What had happened was I'd been writing reviews for different pop music fanzines, gotten to know bands from all over the world by reviewing their CDs. And many of those bands wanted to play in Los Angeles, you know, the lure of Hollywood and, you know, the whiskey and all that great stuff. They didn't really know how to go about it. And I just thought I wanted to create, you know, a platform for bands from all over the world and local bands to come and play under one roof and have them all be of like minds, you know, i.e. pop bands. And that's really how it started. That was the major motivation, to really give these bands a platform and to give them the opportunity to, you know, come out to Los Angeles, or if they happen to be local, to play, you know, on bills with really cool bands from, you know, all over the place. And so I came up with the notion to do it in December of 97, and the first one took place in August of 98. In various venues around Los Angeles, and it did very well, thankfully. Had a lot of great bands, really good crowds. Did it exclusively in L.A. for the next 3 years. And it was during a panel discussion in 2001 when some of the band members who had attended the session got up and said, David, I think it's about time you take IPO on the road. And these were mostly bands who had traveled all the way out to L.A. for, well, maybe all 4 years, you know. So they kind of didn't want to have to travel anymore, and I didn't blame them. And I'd been thinking about doing it on the road. I had some trepidation, wasn't sure I was ready. But with those bands kind of, you know, encouraging me, and actually Michael Mazzarella of the Rooks,
I know who
you're very familiar with, at that night's IPO show, he pulled me aside and said, David, don't worry about a thing. I'll help you. I'll get you into good venues in Manhattan, and you know, you'll be fine. And that's really what did it. That put my mind at ease. And we did the first IPO ever on the road in December of 2001 in different venues in Manhattan. Arlene Grocery was one. Knitting Factory, Luna Lounge, which was in Manhattan then, and we also did stuff at Maxwell's, a couple other places, and it was great. Had a wonderful time. Then the following year, 2002 in April, I brought it to Chicago, and of course, Chicago had special meaning given that the festival, International Pop Overthrow, was named after the first album by Chicago's very beloved pop power pop band Material Issue.
Yes, indeed. And that was, I guess, after his passing.
Yeah, in fact, one of my motivations for naming the festival International Pop Overthrow was to pay tribute to Jim Ellison. He had taken his own life a few months earlier, and so it just seemed apropos. They really took the festival to heart, especially the first year. And that was wonderful.
Question for you. How do you pick the bands to be on the IPO? Is there any rhyme or reason, or just people who you like, or people who say, hey, listen to this. This is a good band.
Well, first and foremost, they have to be melodic. They have to have a pop sensibility. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Your listeners probably know what I'm talking about. It's hard to articulate it, but very easy to recognize. For lack of better phraseology, you know, it's melodic music with strong hooks and harmonies, just the kind of songs that stick in your head long after they're over.
Based on the Beatles and the Raspberries and all those hook-oriented Rickenbacker-type sound bands.
Sure, I mean, evocative of that sound, but I don't want IPO to ever just be firmly entrenched in that niche only. You know, I want to have other types of pop music as well, and we have over the years. The festival has definitely expanded its parameters to where we now have more garage music and folk rock and indie rock and singer-songwriters. So it's not all about bands inspired by the Raspberries or Jellyfish. I mean, we'll always have a healthy amount of those kind of artists, but I also want to have other artists that ride along the pop spectrum. And if you look at the lineups, In every city in which we do it, you'll definitely see a very good cross-section, and I'm very proud of that.
You have a lot of bands that come back year after year, and I find that great because it's like an old friend seeing them again with a mixture of newer bands that I haven't seen before.
That's what I always strive for. I don't want it to be all the same bands from a previous year, but I do want to have a significant amount, because as you said, it is like seeing an old friend and being part of something that feels familial, and not just familiar but familial, like a family, and I want that.
It's a community. It's a power pop community.
Definitely some new blood as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the bands that you've got playing this year, which really really piqued my interest, is a band called Sorrows. And I'm friends with the band members, and I went to a family and friends rehearsal about a year ago, and they said, hey, maybe we should do this IPO thing. And it's blossomed into this great lost band from the 70s, late 70s and early 80s, coming back to their roots and playing. You've got them hooked up. This is the first time Sorrows has ever played in New York City. This is a scoop for you, since 1983. I asked Arthur this, Arthur Alexander from Sorrows.
Well, yes, that's one of the things I'm most proud of with International Pop Overthrow, is to be able to affect reunion shows like that. And Sorrows is a band that I've long been a fan of, and got to know Arthur Alexander when he moved out here a few years and started attending some IPO shows at the behest of Robbie Rist.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure you're very familiar with.
Sure, sure. Cousin Robbie.
And in getting to know Arthur and having him come to a few IPO shows and getting him familiar with what we do, I think he kind of liked the vibe. And that definitely helped encourage him to play. And I appreciate all of your efforts as well, because it's very, very important to me to have bands like that at the festival. And I'm honored, actually, that Arthur and the rest of the guys consented to do this.
David, I'm honored that you actually are having them there. I mean, they've got a CD out of some new material, new mixes on Bomp Alive Records, which basically is tied into International Pop Overthrow with the Sound of Music that you like. But you're also attached to a record label. You've got a record deal with Not Lame Records.
Yeah, the International Pop Overthrow CD that we put out every year. It's been a three-disc set since Volume 5, and each year has its own volume. It's on Not Lame, and I want to, thank Bruce Brodeen and Not Lame, certainly, for releasing it each year. And it's a very nice cross-section of bands who play IPO in every city in which we do the festival.
It's a great compilation, and there's so many gems on it. The funny thing about the collection, I own about five of them, and I'll pull one out and look at it and go, oh, wow, look, these guys were on IPO 5 years ago. And there is somebody who has moved up the chain and become more aware. People have become more aware of them in the music world. And that's good, because you're like finding, it's like, bringing along a rookie and bringing them up to the major leagues. And that's one of the nice things about what you do, because the bands, if you look at the old schedules, you go, oh my gosh, look at these great bands that played International Pop Overthrow across the United States.
Well, thank you very much for saying that. I mean, I'm very proud of the number of bands we've had, the number of good bands we've had, the number who have gained name recognition, if not just within the pop community, but within a larger market. you know, that one of the aims of International Pop Overthrow has always been to get this music into the hearts and minds of the mainstream. And while we haven't quite reached that goal yet, you know, little things that happen, you know, bands getting signed to labels, bands getting songs on soundtracks, getting some name recognition, those things, you know, continue to encourage me that one day this kind of pop music is going to, you know, experience a renaissance, and it's going to become, basically a household sound again.
Well, I hope so, because I'm tired of the crap that's on radio these days. There's so much bad music, and all this music they call so-called pop music, you know, the flavor of the week, you know, the Gaga, Madonna types. That's not what people, well, I guess that's what people want, because there's certain demographics with International Power Pop. And one of the beauties of International Power Pop is you've got bands in their 20s, and also you've got bands in their 50s and 60s, and they're all on the same venue. They're all on the same stage.
Right, yes. And that's again, we really do try not just to have a cross-section of different subgenres, but also, as you pointed out, different ages.
Mm-hmm. I bring my son along to the. My son is he was 20 years old last year. He's 21 this year, and he comes to the IPO shows, and he knows a lot of the bands, and that's what's great. That's what's fun about it, because it's a mix. It's a mix of the old and the young, and it's a celebration of a fabulous music, power pop, or different variations of new wave, or things along those lines, which is what is near and dear to me. Obviously, I do a radio show on those type of bands, but it's a great idea. Quick question for you: how do you pick out what cities that you do? Because I know sometimes you stay in the majors, because it's a good idea to be in the majors. But sometimes you drop down to other cities, and you might do like Youngstown, Ohio. You'll pick out like some smaller markets. Why does that happen?
Well, yeah, as you alluded to, there are certain cities that are no-brainers. I mean, I had known so many bands from New York, plus, you know, it's where I grew up, graduated from NYU, you know, and so I didn't need much cajoling to bring the festival out to New York. Chicago, of course, being a mecca of power pop, that was another no-brainer. Some of the other cities, well, I'll choose certain cities because over the years I'll get to know a decent amount of pop-oriented bands from those cities. You know, Nashville was one like that. On the surface, you'd wonder, like, why would you bring a pop festival to Nashville? Well, there are a lot of really great pop bands from that area.
Yes, and Austin, Texas also has a lot of great pop bands, too.
Oh, for sure it does, and hopefully one day IPO will be there. But, yeah, I mean, the main reason for choosing a city is because I'm aware of a decent base of local pop bands. Sometimes it's a little different. Youngstown, I chose because a member of a pretty famous pop band known as Blue Ash.
Sure, Blue Ash. I play them quite often here.
Yeah, and they got back together in the early part of the last decade and did a bunch of shows, including IPO. And Frank Sethish, one of the main men, said, you know, you really ought to bring IPO to Youngstown. We'll play, and there are a couple other really cool bands. It's going to be great. And I thought, oh, you know, why not? Let's try it. And it was fun. It actually did quite well that year. You know, Youngstown was kind of a one-shot deal, but other smaller cities have done pretty well also, like Portland, for example. Very good local pop scene. Very, very interesting thing that's just happened in that regard is that we're going to be bringing IPO to Denver for the first time ever. That's going to be after the East Coast shows are done. It's going to be from December 2nd through 4th. That happened because a gentleman who books a few of the venues in Denver contacted me and invited me to do the festival there. And I thought, you know, I've never been in Denver other than the airport. I had a few minor trepidations because over the years I've only gotten to know maybe four or five pop bands from Denver, so I didn't really think there'd be much of a scene. So it took, and indeed it did take a lot of searching through MySpace and various other websites to find enough really good pop bands from Denver to put together three solid shows. But we did. And I think it's going to be really, really great. But Denver, I brought this up mainly to illustrate that Denver is not the kind of city I would have chosen on my own, simply because I don't really know a lot of bands from there. So, yeah, generally the bottom line is I need to be confident that there's a local pop scene enough to support the festival.
Sure. I think all around America has the pop scene. Just want to tell everyone, we're talking to David Bash, the founder of International Pop Overthrow, and he's going to be running the New York version of International Pop Overthrow coming up. Let's see, it's November 9th through November 14th. It runs Tuesday through Sunday, and the Saturday and Sunday shows, there's an afternoon show and an evening show. And it's a great festival. It's just a great festival, and I can't wait. I can't believe some of the bands that you're going to be having there. Let me just jump back one second. We were talking about Youngstown. Frank Sesich from Blue Ash. He's also in a band called the Deadbeat Poets, and he's going to be a guest here on my show sometime in January.
And it's really great to hear. Yeah, that we've had the Deadbeat Poets at IPO also, and they really rock. They've got great songs too. And they had a song on this year's International Pop Overthrow CD on the great pop detective Mark Hirschberger's label.
Uh-huh.
He shows a lot of good taste, got a lot of wonderful bands on that label. So I'm glad to hear Frank's going to be on.
So what do you see? What do you see for IPO in 5 years from now? You think you might be able to get to places like Spain, you know, and Portugal and Scandinavia? Because those are also hotbeds for power pop bands.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's actually a good opening to talk a little bit about Liverpool. We've been doing IPO in Liverpool at the world famous Cavern Club for 8 years now.
That's fabulous.
And that IPO really does, for me, embody the essence of the festival, or at least the essence as I saw it back in 98, which was to bring a worldwide pop scene under one roof. One of the things that's happened since I brought the festival to so many different cities is that each city has become much more regional. When it was only in L.A., we had bands from everywhere because that was the only place they could go. Now that we're doing it in so many different cities, the bands who are local to that city know they don't have to travel anymore.
Right.
That has its pluses and that has its minuses. The one minus is you don't have that worldwide pop scene being represented everywhere. Liverpool is an exception. Because it's the Cavern Club, because it's in Europe and there are a lot of countries bordering the United Kingdom, plus all the bands from the United Kingdom, you get a really nice cross-section of bands from Europe mainly, but also even bands from the U.S. who want to go to where the Beatles made their name. Even Japan, Australia, places like that. It's not that hard to get bands to come out to the Cavern Club to be part of the festival.
Well, bands from the USA come across
because
they want to play there.
The reason I bring all this up, why I said it was such a great opening, is because I've had lots of bands from particular countries, such as Sweden and Spain, as you alluded to, other areas, and you know, suggest that I do IPO there and tell me kind of the same stuff that Michael Mazzarella told me 9 years ago, that they would help me out, they'd get me into a good venue or venues, and it would all be great. And, you know, that's the kind of thing I really need to hear. There are certain cities that, as you mentioned, are no-brainers, like Madrid, Stockholm. If I were to go as far, Sydney or Melbourne.
And Japan. Japan has got a great power pop community. I mean, when I went to the IPO shows last year, there were a couple of members of the audience who were from Japan, and they pulled out the original 45s and the albums of some of the bands, and the band members just fell on the floor because some of them have not seen the original 45s and albums that they did 20 some odd years ago, or 30 years ago, as the case may be, and they mugged it up with the fans. They took pictures with the fans, and it just shows you it really is an international festival.
Well, there's nothing. There's nobody who's as fanatic as a Japanese power pop fan.
Sure.
When they get into it, they get into it with everything they've got, and you can see it by the way they respond to the bands who play out there. and their devotion in coming to the United States to see some of those bands that they love. So, yeah, when I saw the Japanese fans with the Go LPs and the modulators,
and
all of that, that was great. I mean, that's exactly, and that's exactly the reason why I hopefully one day will have IPO in Tokyo, because I think I could get some bands from all over the world, as well as the cream of the local pop scene, which is really good there.
Sure, that would be great. Quick question as a fan, as a fan of IPO. Is there any chance somewhere down the road that you will be able to release live, say, the best of the IPO 2010, live versions of stuff from the different venues across America and the world?
There's always a chance of that. I just need the right opportunity. I'm a very visceral person. I'm not only that. Certainly there's been a lot of logic in putting this festival together, and I'm guided by that as well. But sometimes I have to go with my gut and also my emotional, my emotional makeup at a particular time needs to be right. So that when I'm hearing those words, like, you know, let's do a live feed, you know, I can make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
If my emotional makeup is amenable to that at that particular moment, I'll probably just go with it. So, you know, these opportunities come by my desk, very often throughout each year. And, sometimes they sound good, sometimes they don't. But I have a very good feeling that one day we're going to be hooked up with the right situation to broadcast IPO live and archive it. And
ideally, that would be fabulous, having a live concert across the universe, across the world. Everyone can kind of tune in and at least get, maybe a half hour for even with the Internet, because the Internet is a great venue. I do a lot of live bands coming into, individuals coming, doing live music from my studio. And it's a wonderful, wonderful venue, because I've got listeners in different countries, and it's just really fun. They don't have that. Maybe the old days with Don Kirshner rock concert, where they would have a live venue, across the country, and people could tune in and listen. We don't have that anymore. And that's something that I think I miss. And I'm sure a lot of folks out there also miss these live concerts.
Oh, no doubt I miss it as well. And one day I'm sure it'll happen with IPO. I don't know when or where, but it will.
So, David, I got to wrap this up here, because I've got other guests in the studio tonight doing a show. Actually, the Sorrows are here. And I'm looking forward very much to see the IPO in New York and see you again. And enjoy this wonderful power pop music that you bring to folks. Do you want to give a little quick where it's going to be in New York City? Just, tell the folks out there.
Well, I'd like to say that I'm David Bash, and this is being broadcast live on 11L Radio New York International. And I am the founder and CEO of the International Pop Overthrow Festival. And it will be held in New York from November 9th through 14th at Kenny's Castaways. You can check out the schedule at internationalpopoverthrow.com. 50 great bands from all over the place. So we urge you to come and check it out. You will not regret it. You'll be very glad you did.
And you sit there for all the shows. You sit there and your jaw drops like all the other fans out there, saying, this is good music. And you've got 6 or 7 bands per night.
I'm definitely a fan. I mean, if I didn't love the bands that were playing at the festival, I wouldn't be having them there. If I didn't love what I do, I wouldn't be doing it. But yeah, I mean, sometimes, the only way that I've gotten to know a band is through their recorded music until I see them live. And sometimes their live performance really transcends the recordings, and as you say, my jaw just drops. Absolutely.
Well, David, I thank you kindly for being a guest here on 11L Radio New York International, and I look forward to seeing you at the IPO show.
Dave, thank you so much for having me on your program, and I look forward to seeing you as well.
And you do great work, let me tell you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again.
Boogeyman! Bye.